This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because when I want my spicy shrimp pad thai, I want it on time. Because, baby, there's no time like the present, especially when it's pad thai related. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. On time, pad thai, baby.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimums apply.
Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth.
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right there. Now, how the devil are you all? Now, admit it. You weren't expecting that, were you? You weren't expecting that. And I've got to admit, neither was I. We've had no points for so often. We were bottom last year. Who thought we'd have come second in the Eurovision Song Contest? This is Leicester Till I Die TV.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Broadcasting live worldwide.
Indeed. Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube. Please get over and do what it says there. Give us a little subscribe, smash the likes, and click the notification bell. And you will want to click that notification bell because we have got this coming up soon. Next week, in fact, the week after next, we're going to be doing a week full of reviews and men of the match and season awards, etc. And Jerry Taggart, as well as Rob Tanner, will be coming on in separate shows to give their review of Leicester City. And of course, Jerry is the ex-player. He works for the club as well. So it'd be great. It's going to be great having him on to tell us what he thought of Leicester City season. And it's actually ending quite well, isn't it? It kind of is working out now. But I'm afraid I'm going to have one of these. I've promised myself I wouldn't, but I'm going to have one of these.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, I'm not happy, Leicester. I am peed off, if I'm honest with you. I mean, I'm the bottom of the fantasy league. I went for a 3-1 win to Leicester. But that wasn't good enough for you, was it? No. No, you had to go and get bloody five, didn't you? You've cost me 2 points there. You could have stopped at three. Quite happily, we'd have still got the same number of points. But oh no, you had to show off and go and get five. Honestly, I'm fuming. I'm fuming. Brad, good evening, sir. How the devil are you?
I'm happy days, mate. Beating Championship Watford, it's not for everybody. United fans, speaking of the devil, here's one coming right in at the queue for that
yeah,
one.
I know. Hello, Michael.
We needed that, didn't we? We needed that. It's a good way to...
Thanks for your backup there, Mike. Thanks for your backup. I jest about the 3-1. But there is a little bit of me, I'm not going to deny, there's a little bit of me that's going, you know. 3 points would have taken me off the bottom of the table. But hey, 5-1. I mean, okay, it's Watford. Okay, Watford are down. Okay, they were rubbish. But you can only play what's in front of you. And let's be honest with you, how many times this season would we look at a game and think, we'll win this? And we haven't.
Oh, pretty much all this season for the majority of it, haven't we? You know, it's weird to say that we're looking at a season where we could potentially finish eighth. You know, if we can get something against Chelsea, we'd go into eighth into that last game of the season. And it might not sound like much, but if you were to tell fans in August, you're going to suffer a lot with injuries, you're going to suffer with some bad signings. You know, everything collected, but you're going to get to a European semi-final and, you know, you're going to get to a quarter-final of one of the other cups and you're going to finish eighth in the league. I think most Leicester fans would have looked at it and gone, you know what, quite a disappointment, but I'll take that, depending on how it goes. And at the end of at the end of the day, if nothing else, it gives everybody that's going to be a part of Leicester next season the confidence to know that, yeah, all right, like you said, might only be Norwich, might only be Watford that were hammering 3-0s and 5-1s, but you've got to beat them teams. And talking about Premiership teams, Brentford have just got level. It has been
I've just seen, yes.
I could hear the noise because I've got it on the telly in the background. I could hear the noise on the radio and it's just been confirmed. So Brentford are doing Burnley a favour and Leeds a favour by keeping Everton very much in that contest. Sorry, Chris. But yeah, good end to the season, hopefully. I mean, still Chelsea and Southampton to go, but...
Yeah, well, indeed. And don't forget, on that point, next week, we're not doing a watch-along as we've been doing just recently. Next season, I'll probably be doing them on a regular basis. But... You know, we're going to have, because it's the last day of the season, we're going to have like a Soccer Sunday. So a bit like Sky Soccer Saturday, but with better looking presenters. I'll be your Jeff Stelling. We've got Doug, Liverpool fan, will be watching the top two because Man City nearly threw a lifeline to Liverpool today. Or you could say they actually have done. And that's going to go down to the wire. It looks like the bottom... you know, the bottom's going to go down to the wire. And obviously the battle for the... No, nobody wants fourth place, let's be honest with you. So that is going to be next Wednesday.
Whoa, Chris. What about the big battle, the bigger battle? Forget the Man City and Liverpool. Forget the... What about this battle? This battle right here with one man missing. What about the battle... Forget Steve because he's not involved. What about our battle? The battle for the crown of the Prediction Kings. That's surely the biggest news of the day, isn't it?
No, not at all. And I wasn't going to mention it. I was not going to mention it. I mean... You're still behind. Let's not get cocky here. Let's not get too cocky. Mike says that if Liverpool do lose midweek, then obviously, City are champions. But yeah. if Liverpool win, it's going to be a great, great, great last day because there's everything to play for. And yeah, I can't even remember who went for what with the Everton game. Let me just have a look.
You and Steve went for Everton and I went for Brentford. So right now, none of us are getting
there. No, nobody's doing very well. I can stay as it is because I'm still a point ahead of you then. And then next week, I'm just going to copy everything you predict and that way you can't catch me.
We'll have to do it on goal difference then. Goal difference, they'll say.
Okay, this was the team. We're going to go on it in a bit more detail later when you do your tactical section. But I heard only about 2 minutes ago that Schmeichel was dropped possibly for disciplinary reasons.
News to me. I'd only just heard that apparently it was disciplinary. There may have been some talk about his contract. Maybe he wasn't too happy that he hasn't heard anything. Maybe there was something said in training. I don't know. There's normally no smoke without fire, but at this day and age, especially when you've got such a focus on a player of Schmeichel's caliber, it's easy to take everything out of context. Was there a fall and out of training? He's a very passionate person. He's normally yelling and shouting and looking miserable and angry on a training ball pitch.
Yeah.
Time will tell. I mean, what I will say quickly, and I know I've gone on the tactic part of it, but that was a great advertisement to know we're in safe hands from Danny Ward, respectively.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious rumour is that Newcastle are after him. And I think we mentioned last week, you know, and I certainly did, I'm sure, on the preview with yourself, is that we had Gordon Banks as our number one goalkeeper. He had come back from the World Cup with a World Cup winner's medal, and we sold him to Stoke because we had Peter Shilton coming through. Now, I did the watch along with Louise, and I mean, everybody is going mad about this Iverson, and I'm sure he will be good in time, but maybe... And I don't want to get rid of Schmeichel. Don't get me wrong. I don't, because yes, he has his faults, but you can say that about any keeper. You know, a striker misses a shot, it doesn't cost us the game. You know, a goalkeeper lets a goal in, it could cost us the game. So it's unfair, but that's life, as they say.
Yeah.
But if he was to go for me, Ward, yeah, fantastic. You know, bring him on. Given the games, you know, 12 million is Wales number one. And yeah, that even Mike, that does mean something. It's Wales number one. And bring Iverson up into sort of Ward's role now for cup games. I just think Schmeichel, it's unlikely. Maybe it's been a bit of an argument, I don't know, but I can't believe he's particularly done anything wrong.
No, I'm not saying it is. And look, Leicester have been blessed over the years, especially when I've been watching them. They've been very blessed over the years to have always a reliable number two. We went through a bit of a stellar period where, you know, you wouldn't have looked out of place. I remember, well, most fan bases out there will remember the Keller and Arfaxad days, which were... Yeah. We sort of had that same transition period, didn't we, where we had Kevin Poole was the old experienced goalkeeper. And I know it happened quicker than it did with Poole because he moved on and we brought Keller from Millwall. But the same thing happened. We had an eye on, you know, like you just said about Shilton and the Banks thing. If you said to me, if you said to anybody, World Cup winner Gordon Banks, where did he play his football next season? You wouldn't have said that Leicester sold him. You'd have thought they were absolutely barmy, but this happens in football, and sometimes you've got to make that big decision. And look, maybe he's not happy that Leicester aren't making a move for his contract. Maybe he's feeling, because I'm sure he'd want to end his career here. He doesn't seem unhappy here. I don't see it. No. But again, in terms of a second choice goalkeeper, the transition's going to be made at some point.
I mean,
Rodgers telling him he's not going to get the next 3 years as a number one? Is he telling him, well, maybe next season, mate, but after that, I'm going to have to move you on
for the
Danny Ward and Iverson?
I think the fact is that had he, because again, we saw no youth players there at all. Obviously, Brendan is going to try and get as high as he can, and fair dues for him. I think had he played the youngsters, most fans would have gone, yeah, we get that. But maybe had he introduced some youngsters as well, we'd be looking at this and going, yeah, okay, he's moving, he's giving Ward a chance. Now, I am sure Danny Ward has played for Leicester in the Premier League before today.
Yeah. Now, I don't know correct on the date, but I've been told two different ones. Leicester City, I think, said 2017. And I think someone that we know, I think it was Ant, said that he played against Bournemouth in 2016. So he has played before.
Well, according to the reason I'm asking, because according to the Leicester Mercury, and I didn't want to look stupid if it is true, but Ward is handed his Premier League debut for Leicester City nearly 4 years after joining the club. I'm sorry, Leicester Mercury. I'm sure this was not his debut.
No, I don't think it is either. Like I said, someone said that in 2016 he played against Bournemouth. I think the only unfortunate thing is if something has been leaked, and fans have to remember, right? Some fans out there have been talking about maybe give Ward a chance.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, going with the case of yes, he wants to finish high enough, and he's got two very respectable international goalkeepers. There's not many clubs in this division that could look at their first and second choice keeper, and not only could they say, yes, we've got a very good first and second choice keeper, but we've got very well established international keepers. Whatever you think of Wales as a country and as a nation in qualifiers or not, they're very well established in their number one jobs for Denmark and Wales. And maybe now the fans finally, you know, maybe Rodgers has gone, okay, maybe I need to start thinking for the future. So I need to give Ward game time, because you can't play next season, leave him out in the cold completely, and then Schmeichel decides he moves on for the last couple of years to get more first-team football, or he decides maybe to retire. You don't know what he'll do. And then all of a sudden you're starting next August, or the August after it would be, with Danny Ward not only playing one Premier League game, and you're asking him to suddenly be up to levels in Schmeichel.
I've just gone on to sportingheroes.net, and they've got club career dinner. They're going through his clubs. League debut, he has not yet played in the league.
Maybe Bournemouth was a cup game. It may just have been. Oh, Everton 2-1 up. Charleston penalty. Interesting. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a league cup game. It might possibly have been that, but I think Bournemouth are in the Premiership. Maybe that's where people have mistaken it from. And again, we talked about it. He is only just coming into what you call as a goalkeeper your prime years. Kasper's in the back end of that. And I'd like to make a little bit of a comparison, if I may. I don't want Leicester to suffer from the David De Gea scenario, which is David De Gea came under some criticism. David De Gea wanted to shift out and give Dean Henderson the chance as a goalkeeper. Dean Henderson started making some murmurs that if he didn't get a game time, then they'd want him. He'd want to move on. There's issues and a Barney there, and then all of a sudden they've gone back on the word or whatever. Danny Ward was nearly poached this summer by Wolves, and I just wonder if maybe Brendan's going, well, I don't want that to happen to my number two goalkeeper. I want to keep him for when the day comes that I need him to step up and be my number one. So I'm going to play him in these last three games. So Michael may have just thrown his toys out of pram because he just wants to play every game. You can read into that as much or as little as you like, the He
definitely hasn't played for Leicester in his FA Cup and Caribou Cups is what he's played. But my God, I didn't know. I mean, just reading what they're saying here in the Mercury, they're saying, like, Leicester City fans are all asking the same question after Brendan Rodgers names team to face Watford. He's going to bring it. Wait, what's happened with Schmeichel? Somebody says we've lost. Yeah, big tires. You got that right, didn't you? Why is Danny Ward starting? No Schmeichel.
But these are the same fans that will probably ask him for Ward to come in to drop Schmeichel because he can't kick a ball straight or he parries it out. So he can't win. He cannot win.
I have a feeling this might not be a true Leicester fan when he says, why would you bench Casper FGS when he's called Jazzman Ten Hag? I think he might be a Man United fan who just likes buying the Leicester Mercury, maybe. But, the rest of the team, though, I mean, you know, I was surprised there was no youth players even on the bench again. But like I say, credit to Rodgers. I mean, if Rodgers can get us to eighth and we look back on this season, and like I say, I'm going to ask him the same to Jerry Taggart and the same to Rob Tanner the week after next, is if we finish like eighth, ninth, tenth and we've got to a semi-final in a European competition, this has not been the bad season that we've been kind of painting it, really.
No, it's not. And again, sometimes we, as fans, not just Leicester fans, but fans probably all over, when they're looking at a team, they forget that there's still X amount of games to go. And we kind of forget that other teams are also playing. They're also in their sturdy form. They're in their dip and diver form. So, you know, we were making assumptions of this season with seven or eight games to go. Now, I know, obviously, no matter what happens in the next two games, Leicester will not sneak into Europe. But we were talking about a side that had to play Everton twice. We know how well that went. And I'm talking hindsight. But back then, we had Villa, we had Newcastle, we had Everton twice. We were looking at Norwich and Watford and Southampton thinking, God, we could pick up, you know, five, six wins out of them games. We could still sneak into Europe. And in the end, you know, we're going to fall short by a couple of points by the looks of things with the league table. Mm. But to finish that season where we've done, given everything we've got, is absolutely phenomenal. If you take everything into account, on and off field things as well, it really is a better season. And sometimes maybe you just need to wait for the season to conclude before you judge it. Because I feel like some fans would have sacked Brendan in October, rehired him in December, sacked him again over February and March, and now would be hiring him again because he's done this. You know, it is one of them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that analogy. I do love that analogy. BBC have just been talking to Brendan Rodgers. It was a fantastic win. It's never easy at this stage of the season when people think you have nothing to play for. And that's very true. He said the players turned up, they're hungry right to the end, a good win for us. And indeed, they could have sat back at 2-1 and goes, Watford ain't going to get anything, but they didn't. So good shout out to the players, in fairness. He said it was another unfortunate deflection from the corner which saw us concede. Our response was outstanding. We'll be definitely doing something about the defending set pieces come the summer. Oh, you've had all season to sort it out. All season to see to sort it out. But, I mean, you know, we could have just sat back at 2-1. I mean, at 1-0 down after 6 minutes, my language on the watch-along was a bit choice, I'm not going to lie. And but, you know, 2 goals in 4 minutes. This is Watford, but you can only play, you know, who you're up against.
Yeah, and again, we've seen these sides over the years go out there with nothing to play for. They're preparing for next year. They want to go out on a high. It's their last home game, and they go and cause an upset. You know, like a Newcastle beating a Spurs 5-1 or something similar to this result, you know, beating them to stop them finishing second. It doesn't have an impact on them. They're not going to suddenly stay up, but they show their fans they care. They show the fans they've still got fight and effort. And even though this season ultimately ends in disaster for them in relegation, they're still there showing that they're going to roll up the sleeves. They're ready to go again. They're ready to get the Reds down, work hard on that training ground and try and bounce back next season. And you know, you may be sure why some of them players aren't Premiership standard. I mean, that's two games in a row now we've seen two defenders run into each other. So to give us a goal in a sense, and a calamitous, you know, goalkeeper in Ben, you know, Foster, maybe he should concentrate on his cycling more than his goalkeeping, because he couldn't pedal his way out of that one, could he? Getting the goal for Vardy's goal.
And to say, I mean, let's just have a look at this. Again, I know you are what you're like with tactics. It's not adding. Ah, there we go. Here we go. But, I mean, you know, Watford, they had 13 shots, the same as us. You know, it wasn't, you know, they had more big chances than we did. So, you know, we weren't just playing a nondescript, you know, Rochdale or something. They, yeah, we got 60% possession, but, you know, they had a go in a way, although all the papers and the press seemed to be calling them disgraceful and rubbish and what have you. But in fairness, like I say, they did have a go.
Yeah, I mean, they had a go. And you know, when you see your team concede from pretty much what feels like every shot the opposition has, it's not easy to look at any positives. I mean, I can't imagine it's easy for any Watford fan doing a video like this right now to try and put some positives in there. But they had a go. And let's be honest, Chris, we take that, you know, we take our equaliser out of it. You know, Watford, you know, that corner, you're thinking, oh, look, they've done what Norwich couldn't do and they scored. And then they hit the bar and then Danny Ward made a great save. And then you're thinking, oh, God, we could be 2-3-0 down. And in a blink of an eye, because you score and you come in half-time 2-1 up and then you score like about 12 seconds into the game to make it 3-1, the game's dead and buried. And that was what did it for Watford. That killed it off. But they still kept coming at us. And Brendan talks about, you know, it's obviously been a write-off trying to fix it this season. They've obviously had to write it off at some point because he's obviously gone a bloody hopeless at it. I'll have to try and sort it next season sort of thing. But one thing that, and I'll touch on it again in the sections, one thing that we do need to also work on is our way of managing going a goal behind and scoring a goal, because we seem to panic on the ball when we've either conceded or we've just got ourselves back into the game, which allows them to have some of the chances that they did, because there were some moments, even at 3-1, where they, you know, all of a sudden the commentator I was listening to the game on woke up because Watford had a chance and they were in behind. So there is a few things to go, but I don't really want to nitpick. I've said it only, I've not had many chances to say this season. I don't want to nitpick after a really good win.
Yeah.
Things that we got wrong, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's something you've got to celebrate what we actually got right, and whether we got things wrong or not. You know, we beat an already relegated side 5-1, but, you know, we know that they've beaten Man United and they've pulled a few results out the bag. Two players that I want to sort of touch on, because it was a brave decision. He left out Luckman. But Barnes, I mean, everybody was sort of like, oh, God, Harvey Barnes. And people have been shouting, not me, I hasten to add, but people have been shouting, we should be letting him go. He should be one of the players that goes, well, you know, he was on his game today and it showed what he could do. Or do we look at it and go, well, he was playing a Championship defence, so maybe he's better off in the Championship?
Well, no, because if that's the case, then everybody in this club's better off playing against the Championship, because they've only just, in the last seven games, they've only won against Championship opposition. So they're all no good. Let's get rid of them all. Let's go and make 25 and just silence and pretend we are Watford. Look, he's had a bit of a frustrating season. He's never seemed to get himself 100% fit and 100% match fit on top of being fit as well from his injury. And I was a little bit disappointed with him in the first half. Out of all the players, he was the one I heard the least in that first half, even with, you know, even with the fact that we came in 2-1 up at half time, you know, and then obviously 17 seconds into the second half, he corrects that and he looks a different player. And sometimes, you know, you have to say that we've sat here as fans, as neutrals, looking at it as blue tintedless as possible. We have said that the way Leicester predictably go down one side does also hinder him a bit. And I said sometimes you just need that game like he got today, where he gets an assist or he gets a couple of goals, and he's had that cluster of games against Norwich and Watford. And it doesn't matter their quality. At the end of the day, he's still got to have the onus to do it, because that goal he scored is a volley, and it's a volley on a, on, you know, he's not like he's brought it down and had time to place it in. He's volleyed it into the net, and
I was watching it, and I was watching it carefully on the replays to just try and get the shot that would show me. But yeah, it didn't even touch the ground. He literally, like you say, just hit. It was a lovely strike, and yeah. I think today again, hopefully, he's shut a couple of the doom-mongers up.
Yeah, I assume he has. I mean, he scored two goals and that, and I believe as well. I know Madison. It has got his best ever goal return and assist return for any season he's ever had. I believe that might just be top flight, but I believe that is overall definitely in a Leicester shirt. So, and I think Barnes got to be close to that if he's not already done the same. So it's not actually been a bad season. It's just one thing that Leicester have suffered with, and every club suffered with it when you've got a talented, quick and annoying player like him. And by annoying, I mean he can jink you inside and out. He could wiggle his way past you and somehow keep the ball at his feet, which he does to score his goals sometimes. Is they go through stages, don't they, Chris? They go through a glut of four or five games where they don't light up the world. They don't get three assists and two goals every game. If he was doing that, well, I tell you this now, if them two and a fit Jamie Vardy all season were doing that all season, it wouldn't be Man City and Liverpool winning the league. I tell you that now, that result would have just guaranteed Leicester the title, because if they were played like that for 38, 58 games, because that's another thing to take on board. We've played 56 games this season. We've still got two more. We've near on 60 games for this season that we've had a depleted squad for game, and we've had to rely on these Barneses and Madisons to be fit week in, week out to play these 50-odd games. So take everything into account, Leicester fans, before you go on your social medias and go, you're this, you're that, get out my club. Because you'll be moaning when we get stuck with another Perez.
Tim Sherwood on Sky, this has been a disgraceful performance from Watford. They have thrown the towel in. I mean, are we looking at a match where it's all going to be Watford were bad, Watford were bad, Watford were bad, or the fact that we made them look bad?
I mean, I'm never, ever going to give a rat's arse about the opinions of a man who nearly relegated Villa with less points of Derby County, to be honest. You're not going to toss what he thinks about their performance or us being good, their being bad. It was two games of football. At the end of the day, we created the chances. Watford still tried, even though they conceded five goals. We had to put them to the sword, you know, because it's a game of football, funny enough, Mr. Sherwood. You wouldn't know what that's like because you were mediocre and lucky that you got signed by Blackburn. And you spectacularly bottled a 2-0 lead in a season that ended with you getting a sack, your team going down, and Leicester winning the Premier League. So your opinion is like Nottingham Forest right now. Absolutely invalid. It does not account to Leicester fans. I don't give a rat's arse what Tim Sherwood and his opinions of my club and our club.
Doug is saying good afternoon, Chris.
Oh, I nearly gave him a salute and he called me Bradley before now.
I didn't even get that out then. You stopped me before I got to go to Chris and whoa.
Yeah. How dare you?
He predicted 5-0 to
So did I.
I had a bit of a rant about my score prediction. Great, Doug. Fantastic result for you yesterday. Second in Eurovision. You know, what can I say? You're enjoying it as much as me. Rogers says on Twitter, Mendy was sick. What does he say about Schmeichel? David says, if my mouse will work. David says, glad to see Barnes actually playing to his high standards. Just wish I understood why. Oh, hang on, it's just gone down there. Understood why he isn't as consistent, though. I mean, who's been consistent this season? Name me one player on that blue Leicester shirt on that's been consistent.
Jamie Vardy, when he's been fit.
Well, I wouldn't say so. I mean, even he, you know, If you're saying he should be consistent, he should be scoring every game, maybe, and he hasn't.
Well,
you know.
for 14 goals in 23 games, is it something like that? His return,
yeah, he's
I take that
he's had
consistent.
A bad season. I just don't think he's been consistent.
It's all right, mate. I'll let you off.
Predictive text. Yeah, I've got a predictive mouse, haven't I, Bradley?
Yeah.
Predictive mouse, I mean. Let's talk. I mean, we'll come up to man of the match and what have you later, because I actually sort of will probably disagree with these. But for me, let's talk Jamie Vardy first. We're talking Jamie Vardy. And yes, he does make you think, oh no, he's gone a few games without a goal, and then he comes back with that sort of performance.
Just Jamie Vardy in a nutshell, mate. He's, you know, sodgy Ronaldo's and Messi's. This is your real goat, because anybody can score 10, 12, 15 goals if they're fully fit for 38 games of the season or there or thereabouts. But when you've played about half of that and you're still hitting well into double figures, you know, you're talking about a man that's just not talked about enough. And it's just a joy to watch, isn't it? You know, we remember talking about it all them couple of seasons ago. We used to talk about how telepathic Danny Drinkwater and Vardy does. Well, he's your motherboard, isn't he? He's your mainframe of that team, because when he's on that pitch, it doesn't matter how good Dakar and that show are, because they are good. Let's not take away from the other strikers. They can play well and they can link up with these players well. But when he's on there, it's just a different class of link-up play that they have, because they just do it and they know he's going to get on the end of it. They don't, when a Dakar or an Acho gets a ball by Evans put up to them and it's pumped maybe five or so yards ahead of him, you're thinking, oh, he's just over it. That's unlucky. I like the thinking. But when you do it to Vardy, you go, give him a minute. Oh, there we go. He's won the ball and he's got on the end of it. Didn't matter anyway. You know, he just creates something out of nothing. And that could be the title of his bloody movie, couldn't it? Something out of nothing is Vardy.
Good evening to Stephen. Congratulations to you as well for yesterday's win. I'm going to say, let me just bring this up, because we normally do this at the end, but why not? Why not now? Let me just get past your tactics, and because as we say, Alan Bennett and his details. His match stats. Tillemans eight. Manager eight. Team eight. Now, man of the match, Jamie Vardy. I guess why he's got that. And also Brian Langston, who does the match report, he picks a separate man of the match, and he picked Jamie Vardy as well. I understand. I do think it was the easy choice to pick, but Maddison, a goal, but he got two assists as well. To me, he had an absolutely brilliant game.
You know what? It's very rare we've been able to say this season. There was a few shouts of the man of the match. I'm going to do something maybe a little bit controversial.
No, never. Not you. Not
I know,
you, Brad.
Me, never. I know, right? But I'm going to give... I agree with the ratings, first of all. I think the team was spot on. I think the manager was spot on with what he did. Yeah. I think he made some wise choices, which he's learned. He's learned not to run him into the ground. If Mendy was feeling ill, he took him off fair play. Evans felt the twinge, it sounds like, so we took him off fair play. Now, when you sign for a club and then you take nearly 5 years to make your Premier League debut in a game that could end in disaster, Watford could go and score three past you, you look like tripe, and then the panic button gets hit. You maybe have had to deal with a training ground bust up or a little bit of flare tempers. And then you're told you're in goal for your Premier League debut and you make some great saves. There's some saves he made today that Leicester fans were salivating over Kasper. And this is nothing against Kasper. I just want to give it out there. Well done. And I would give him my man of the match to Danny Ward, because I honestly think he had a great game.
I mean, I've got to be totally honest with you. I can't argue with a word of that. And it's like, it's a bit like, you know, if Iheanacho scores a couple of goals that are blinders, if it was Vardy, the fans would be salivating, but they don't. But I agree totally. I mean, just out of interest, actually, on the BBC site where the fans sort of mark the players and their performance, Vardy is actually man of the match with 8.32, which isn't a surprise. And Ward is actually bottom for Leicester, 7.01. I don't know how that works.
I checked the score man of the matches, and they only obviously give ratings. They don't do all these 8.23s or whatever. And Vardy, Madison, Barnes, possibly, I think Kieran Dewsbury-Hall got an 8 as well, but Ward also got an 8. And that was nice, wasn't it, mate? It's nice to be talking about a game where we can pick 4 or 5. But honestly, just for the stipulation of him playing and everything surrounding his debut, I think that was a really sturdy one, because he made a one-handed save as well, where, you know, we've criticised that, you know, Schmeichel makes some saves and he pushes it into danger instead of away. He pushed it away really well and confidently as well, to add on to that. So,
yeah,
I think it was great.
No, I totally, totally agree with you. And here's the company that we use for the the watch along and the stats, and they've got Madison there with 9.2 as their man of the match. But just look how many greens there are on our side. And I don't mean Brussels sprouts or anything like that, but talking to Brussels, Tillemans coming from Belgium. See what I did there? That was a smooth link, wasn't it? That was a smooth link. Come on,
it was, but it was full of dad jokes.
Well, I can't disagree with that. 7.9 Castagna, 7.2 for Ward, 7.5 for Fofana, Evans 7 and Justin 7.3s along with Dewsbury Hall, Mendy 6.2, but like you said, if it was a bit off, then understandable. Vardy 9, and Barnes 9 as well. I mean, there was just, and there's very few, if you look there. There's only two Watford players, Kiambi and Pedro, that have even got into greens, and they've got three at the back, the two centre backs and the goalkeeper that are actually on. I mean, Foster 3.8, bloody hell!
Oh God, that's been generous for him. I bet he's very glad that the Premier League won't allow his GoPro this season, because today's game we might have broke it. He might have broke his GoPro when he had that in the back of his net, the amount of times it ended up in there. He didn't cover himself in glory, but he is 39 years of age. You know, he's had a stellar career. I'm not going to argue against what he did at all.
But
it just shows that when it's clicking together, and I might not have had it into my notes, so I'll save it to them, but there is something else I want to say about the ratings of Leicester. But yeah, it just shows what happens when it clicks, you get it right. This is what Leicester can do. And maybe this is, you know, you said, oh, like Clinton Morrison said, oh, wait until Brennan's got a full team. Wait until he's got everybody available to him. Maybe this is the longevity of how long you have to wait before them players come back mid-season, and how long it actually takes for you to get them playing at their best. And yes, people are going to say, oh, it's Watford, Frank. You get to see that.
Louis said on the watch along, you know, not everybody can do a Fofana,
come back, score
a goal and be like he'd never been away, or come over from the continent, slip into the team, and be like he's been there for years. But David says he agrees with you, Brad. Danny had a good game with some nice saves and has no issues with distribution. I just think. I'm not saying that, you know, what's happened with Carrick. It's all rumours, let's be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been a disciplinary, as in, you know, he's been naughty or he's broken any rules, because that's not Casper. And he may have had Barney with another player. So that's more likely possibly what happened. But if Schmeichel is to go to Newcastle, and who knows, I think we've got a great keeper there in...
Certainly.
You know, in that. David's just got back. Good evening, David Gamble, from the match. Let us know what you think about the match, because you were there. You were there. Right, okay, well, it's that time when we have what you can only say puts Sky Sports
to shame. It is. David just says, thought we started slowly again, but after we got the goal, we stepped it up a bit more. Brad, I am your Debbie McKee to your Paul Daniels, so I will let you go on and
he kicked himself out, ladies and gentlemen. Silence at last. We've won the battle. All please right. Subscribe for that. Oh, he's right. Back.
Right, remember, I can do this. I can mute you, remember. Then you can talk all you want now, Brad, because nobody can hear you. There we go. You're back, mate. Here we go. And I, if you don't be nice to me, I won't click the right buttons.
That's right, mate.
I bet a few people have said that to you. Anyway, moving on. Here we go. Good luck, Brad. Go with
it. Cheers. Right, well, here we are at the tactical analysis. It's a bit of a fun one today, isn't it? We'll start off, get straight into it. We'll talk about the starting 11. And here we'll see on this slide, we'll see that style that started to line up against Watford. So we started off with a good shape. It was traditional 4-3-3 that came to known this season. Yeah, well, when we've had fully fit defence, I guess it's been a shape. And I think, whilst there probably some surprises that there wasn't maybe a Brunt chucked in there and maybe a few of the youngsters, the big, obviously, elephant in the room was Schmeichel's protege, Danny Ward, stepping in for today's game, making his debut. A fantastic audition for the Leicester fans. I'm sure you were all excited to see that. But apart from that, really, it was quite a very strong and aggressive Leicester side. Two quick wingers in Justin Castagne, Mendy doing that absolute Ndidi-esque role. And he's somebody that I think we need to make sure is here for as long as he wants to be here. Well, probably doesn't want to be here that long if he's not going to get played every week, but we need to keep him. We need to keep him. We need to appreciate Mendy as much as we can because he's done a fantastic job this season. He's held that role down in the absence of Ndidi, and it looks like we've had some issues with Samari. Maybe he's homesick. Maybe the move hasn't gone to plan. We don't know. But with Choudhury probably being the one that gets pushed out the door out of the two of these as well, we don't want to be shortchanging ourselves. And this man has been very pivotal to our season, even when it's not gone to plan in terms of results. Let's see that. It's a 4-3-3. So we'll just move on to the next slide and show you the rest of it. Set-piece goals everywhere. And that is a Leicester fan that is Woody. That is an opposition van, is Buzz Lightyear, because, oh my God, it only took Watford 6 minutes to do something that Watford couldn't, that Norwich couldn't do over the 90 minutes. And that was a corner goal. You know, what can you guarantee in life? You can guarantee that the sun comes up, the sun will set, the moon comes out at night, and Leicester will concede from a flipping corner. And they only did it twice if it wasn't for the crossbar and a few good saves by Danny Ward. But yeah, set-piece goals is enough to drive you crazy. If there's one thing we could, you know, that could torture us to death and make us confess anything, it would be show us our replays of us failing to defend from corners. I had to use this at some point in the season, and unfortunately, Watford gave me the perfect opportunity to do that. Set-piece goals, whether it's free kicks or corners, can we please... You know what? If we haven't fixed it, everybody, forget asking for Santa for gifts for Christmas. Ask him to get us a defensive set-piece coach. See if we can do it that way. Anyway, let's move on to the next slide, shall we, folks? I'm sure we're sick of that. Let's talk about the round up the first half with the good, the bad, and the awful. Straight into the good part. Madder's got a goal. His best season. He's had in a Leicester shirt. Believe his best season in the top form. He got us a goal. He showed he's got the midfield prowess about him that you want from number 10. And it was just great to see him continue to try to his goals. Interesting fact is, Madders, since making his Leicester City debut, is outright the best performing centre midfielder in terms of goals and assists, with 53 goals and assists combinations combined. Since his Leicester City debut, he is Harvey Barnes second, Mason Mount third on that list. So this was just another pinnacle tick in the right box. Another good point to make, something we all very know very, very well to be true. Sod your Ronaldo, sod your Messi, sod your Arn, you know, sod the rest of them. Vardy is your GOAT. Vardy is your greatest of all time in the Premier League. The man, 35, doesn't mean anything. Guy could play to his 55 the way he scores goals, doesn't he? Because he did it again, yet again. He was like the Messiah to the Leicester City side. He guided them towards victory with his goal. And it was just great to see. For a guy who people keep saying he's washed up and keep saying this might be his last season, he keeps coming out and reminding people that if you chat the proverbial, you're going to get banged. And Watford got banged with two goals today, didn't they? Another thing that was great to see today, something we haven't seen too much this season, in fact, we've been on the reverse end of this, is quick goals to response. 1-0 down, 6 minutes. You start fear of dread. Leicester, they're going to concede again. They're probably going to lose 2-0, 3-0, 3-1. Oh, God, what's going to go wrong? We rode our luck, we saw it, and we hit back. And then we hit back again. And it was just brilliant. And the all-around movement play was positive. That's what caused the chaos in the Watford defence. I mean, they don't need help being bad at the back, but they were even worse. But we have to talk about the bad and the awful in this in the first half performance, because there was some. And it was giving away silly set pieces. And despite doing very well today, getting two goals and having a very decent second half performance, Barnes was the culprit for their goal. He gave away free kick, get away the corner that led to it. We've got to stop giving it. There's no point saying we need to work on the set pieces if we can't stop giving away silly, dangerous free kicks in and around the box. Corners are natural. They happen in any part of the game. That's something you can't stop. What we can stop doing is giving free kicks in and around the 20-25-yard mark. And another thing we need to work on next season is stop playing very nervously on the ball. We seem to go static. We seem to go back to that slow pace, that slow build up. We seem a bit edgy on the ball. And that seems to happen around a couple of minutes after we conceded today and a couple of minutes after we got ourselves level. And again, when we were in front, we just look that little bit nervous. And I don't know if that's just in being in the back of the players' minds that we're susceptible and we need to focus, and we're so busy focusing on trying to focus that we lose focus on and give away the ball and give Watford a few chances. But what was awful was exactly what we've been talking about all season. You could put this record on repeat and play it for the 38 games we've done this season in terms of Premier League and more for the European competitions and cup competitions, defending set pieces. Tall men marking small men marking tall men, wing backs marking front men, centre backs outside the box, goalkeepers doing handstands, whatever you could think of, they were trying to do apart from defend it. That's exactly what Leicester are doing. And that was where not only where the game goal came from, but it's where the chances for Watford to have got more goals came from. So how did that change? Well, let's just show you this. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it a next badly edited slide? Well, the second half showed that just like a member of the Justice team, this is a really bad version of the Flash. I'm joking, tongue-in-cheek to all you Flash fans. I just couldn't edit it and I just wanted to make a little pun. But 17 seconds into the second half, Flash, I know it's a different one, but still, Flash came onto the scene. 17 seconds, Harvey Barnes settles the nerves and sets off an atmosphere around the ground for the away fans to enjoy. Two-goal cushion, Harvey Barnes sets Leicester on their way. And that was the perfect tonic they needed. It's exactly what they needed in this game, because you were looking at it thinking, oh dear, are we going to hold on to this? Are we going to do a Tottenham and Newcastle and concede a goal or two in stoppage time, watch us draw this game to all, or worse, lose it? Harvey Barnes gave us something we haven't had in a while, apart from Norwich game, was a two-goal cushion. So Leicester just then took control, and this is something again that we haven't seen on the next slide, and this was beautiful. It became like a beach kind of atmosphere. We were giddy, we were jumping, we were cheering, we was enjoying it, we was having so much fun. We was probably throwing beach balls around in a very, very, very enjoyable game. And then something that has been Leicester's downfall, and we have been critical of against Roma, against PSV in the first leg, especially again that snooze fest against Villa. What was it? Was it defending set pieces? No, it was something we haven't been. And that was, we decided on the next slide, Chris, we decided to get clinical. I'm sorry. I've ruined the day. I've ruined your day by singing just then. I know, but I couldn't resist the pun. I couldn't resist the line. For once in our lives, we were clinical in front of goal, not just from the Goat and Barnes, but we were just clinical all around. We were clinical in our build-up play. We were clinical in capitalising mistakes, and we were clinical in putting that ball in the back of the net. Five times. When was the last time we did that? Away from home, I think it was Man City last season in the 5-2 win. I don't think we haven't won by more than two goals away from home all season. So for once today, we got to cheer, we enjoyed a beach atmosphere, and the lads were clinical in front of goal. So, you know, it wasn't really much tactically to talk about. And I know, right, my jokes are even worse. It's becoming infectious, Chris. So on top of everything, on top of a beautiful performance, a well-rounded and a big heavy win and a nice sunny day-ish, I guess, in Watford, the fans came home happy and they got to enjoy a very clinical Leicester performance. So how did the summary go on to that? Well, as you'll see on the next slide, it's not actually that much, but the good second half and the overall summary of the game was clinical in front of goal for a change. You know, we stayed switched on when in other games we've been trying to defend a lead and we've miserably failed. We punished them. Danny Ward was fantastic. I didn't add a bit on here, but I will mention that Mendy was in DDS-esque and I thought he was brilliant. Someone that's vital to next season. He's part of the squad that needs to be around. And of course, Jamie Vardy is the GOAT of all GOATs. Bad. Vardy got taken off. Wasn't allowed to get his hat trick. And the awful was our opponents, Watford. Because right or wrong, yes, they never gave up. And yes, they kept trying to have chances, but they were indeed awful. And that, guys, was your overall tactical analysis and summary of the emphatic 5-1 win for Leicester today. And that ends the slideshow presentation and my awful jokes.
Oh, Bradley. And I'm calling you Bradley for those.
Yeah,
you know.
I deserve it. Okay, I'll take that, yeah.
Tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Anyway, apparently it's all been going on. Doug's been keeping me updated while you were
it's
talking.
3-2.
3-2 to Brentford.
I just saw it 2-2 when I was going through my presentation. I've just looked up, actually said that to check it. And it's 3-2 Brentford. I'm level with you, Christopher. Oh, dear. See, lad, the drama's here, people. Girls and guys, get over here. The drama's here for last day in action.
I was thinking about Everton, Leeds and Burnley, and of course you were thinking about the prediction league.
So the league I've got any interest in above for where Leicester finishing it, mate.
In fairness, that's true, mate. That's true. I'm sorry. I'm going to give you one of these just for your singing alone.
Yeah, all right. I'll take it. I'm happy with that.
Or you could, of course, this one could have been just as apt, if you like.
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
Just as apt, mate. As soon as I wrote it, I thought, I'm going to have to sing that, otherwise people are going to think I've just spacked out on my keyboard and typed it three times. So you got a show and a tactical display, ladies and gentlemen.
What can I do? No. God, listen, please don't subscribe. He's not on every show. Please don't unsubscribe.
Yeah, don't. No, just stay. Yeah, stay here. I'll be getting that deducted from my £2 wage.
Nippon, welcome along, mate. NS Sports, if you're a big Chelsea fan, get over there and give him a follow. What happened, Nippon? I mean, losing one FA Cup, you could say, well, that's, you know, a bit unlucky. Losing two, you could say, well, yeah, it's not good, is it? Losing three, oh, I, what can I say? At least the women's team won, Nippon. At least
the women's.
Yeah, the women's Chelsea team, yeah, won. Maybe you should put them out against Liverpool next time.
maybe give that woman's manager a shout at the men's job. You know, like Mason.
That is it. Yeah. Great win, Brendan. Out. Yeah, okay, Ant. Okay, Ant. I don't know what to say to that. Let's move on, shall we? Let's move on.
Well, I'm at that moment.
We've got Chelsea midweek. Funny that, and I say going to Chelsea just after they've lost an FA Cup final. I'm sure that has a ring to it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's almost like it happened this time last.
It couldn't have done, could it?
No, it's almost. Hold on. What was the name of that rat of a left back that said he wanted to go to Chelsea because they did better than us? But he's only won one. No, he's won a Champions League, but since Sven Bilwell. I can't remember.
No. But in fairness, I've got to be honest with you, mate. It is a Champions League medal.
I just remembered as I started that round. It's like, no, they actually won the Champions League. Damn it.
I thought, I'm going to see if you can dig yourself out of this one, because that probably wasn't there.
I was like, let's just close over the Champions League, pretend it doesn't exist. But no.
But, I mean, that. I have a feeling that we're going to get a bit of a bite back from Chelsea, to be honest with you. We did last time.
Well, you know, maybe Brendan sees that as the game in hand, which essentially it really is, because everybody else will be looking at their last game.
We didn't play them because they were in the Caribou Cup. Well, how did they get on in the Caribou Cup again?
Oh, they lost that and all, didn't they?
Didn't they?
Did that go to penalties
as well?
Yeah, and Kepa missed it.
Not Kepa, who wanted to be so good in his own mind that he wanted to stay on the pitch. He didn't miss it, did he?
Yeah, he did, and he was so good in the FA Cup yesterday that he chose to do the honourable thing and not bother fighting to get on the pitch.
Oh, I don't know, Chelsea. I don't know. In fairness, all joking aside, they're not in brilliant form, are they?
No, they're not. But
and I'm not having a dig here at all, Nippon, but to be honest with you, you're not.
But their season's over, isn't it, realistically? No, nobody's taking them out the top four, so they've done what they're doing. They're never going to win the league. That became apparent as soon as they decided 90 million can go and do nothing up front. And then they decided to spend more money on trying to get nothing to do nothing up front. But they're not going to finish fourth. They're not going to finish second.
Well, I know, you know, they could end up fourth. Tottenham are sniffing up their backsides.
Yeah, but even if they do, it's still Champions League football. They're still going to have a...
Oh, yeah. They're not going to have
two dissimilar... You know, finishing third and finishing fourth isn't going to be the difference between drawing, say, a Barcelona in your Champions League group and Real Betis. It's not, you know, it's not going to improve their group selection.
No. And that doesn't fit in with my script. That, so I'm not going to say about us doing anything in the Caribou Cup. Thank you very much.
We don't talk about that. We let that happen.
No. Come on. I know you want Brendan out, but we're trying to be positive here. I mean, Chelsea are fifth in the... Going on the last 10 games, Chelsea are actually fifth in the form table, and Leicester City are seventh, just 2 points behind them in the form table. So, you know, it is... I think I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I could possibly see us getting a draw there.
You could do, and it'll all depend on how Brentford's, because I've just looked to see the score. It will all depend on Brendan, this one, because the talks of these youngsters getting a game time has got to happen at some point. And is he going to say to them, is he, because he's obviously got, surely he's got an idea of the potential youngsters that are not just going to get a run out for the sake of a run out, but the youngsters like the Brunt, like, and I know he's the one I keep mentioning, but I don't know about the other, so I don't want to mention Avonte Campbell and that because their loan agreements mean they can't play. But once we know that can play, as he turned around to him and says, look, I don't want to potentially throw you under the bus against Chelsea. I want to give you a serious chance to go out there and impress without the pressure being on you, like he did by giving him his debut against Tottenham. And I'll wait to the Southampton game to do that. Or does he say, right, okay, this is a free hit. You know, I'd rather play this game with very little pressure on it and give you that chance. Or are we going to see Yuri, Madison, and the same sort of team we've seen tonight? It'd be interesting to see what team does get picked, but I wouldn't still rule out maybe Brendan going,
hope
you know
he doesn't
what?
Throw a lot of youngsters in against Chelsea, having not thrown them in against...
But we could be the last team that has the chance to complete the hat-trick for Southampton. I want Southampton to end their season with their 9-0 trophy.
I think if he had been going to blood any of the youngsters, Norwich and Watford were the games he would have done it. I think now he's looking at this like, well, hang on. I mean, let's face it, at the end of the season, I want to watch Match of the Day and I want to see us in the first slide when they look at the league table. You know, I want to see us in that top half. And if we finish, whether it's 8th, 9th or 10th, we're in that top half and we can say, you know, we used to be happy with if we were 8th, 9th or 10th under Martin O'Neill. You know, and things have moved on, before anybody says it. But, you know, we do want to finish in that top half. And it just makes you feel better. A top half finish and a European semi-final. I mean, did you know I do impressions here, Brad?
No, I didn't. And
I've got, it's a double impression here of Ant. You know Ant from Ant's Leicester Fan Channel?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a double. My first part of my impression is this. Hello, my name's Ant. The second part of my impression, having dropped down this small, is this, which, it's a glass almost empty. Ant, what? We played two championship sides. I think you're getting a bit carried away. Well, did Man United beat Watford, Brad?
No.
I mean, you know, yes, we beat two championship sides. Would you have... How tall are you then, Ant? Would you have... A couple of months ago, I wouldn't have guaranteed that we would have won those two games.
At the end of the day, I said this once and I'll say it again. I said absolutely not. You can't enjoy these games no matter how expected the result is or not. Then you're just never going to enjoy life. I want to know, Ant, do you cry? Do you have a quick cry every morning in the morning of your birthday because you think, oh, I'm only going to get presents? What does it matter? Come on, mate, cheer up a little bit. Come on.
And before anybody asked me, that was the fact that it was a glass nearly empty. Yeah, but Ant, I love you, mate. You know I do. You know it's comic, and I'm waiting for the reply about my age here, Ant. You've been a bit slow. I say a glass nearly empty. He says a glass of realism. Do you know what? This is what I love. This is what I love about when fans can have a bit of banter and be sat on the different side of the fence, and we're not throwing bringbacks at each other. So
very true.
Brendan's confirmed he wants two midfielders in the summer. Oh, don't we all wish we were? And I say, I've got Jerry Taggart coming on after, and I'll probably ask him what his thoughts. Sorry?
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. It's going to be a YouTube-only show, so it's not going to be available on Facebook or on Twitter. So it's going to be, and it's probably pre-recorded, so it will go out as a premiere. And, you know, so you need to subscribe, guys, to our channel. Yes, we want you to do this. And people accuse me of throwing this channel together. Subscribe. And Jared, it's after the final game of the season. It's going to be 1-8 of the following week. And, you know, his thoughts on like Samare and what have you will be very, very interesting. Anyway, Brad, to be honest with you, I've never even heard of that him, Nippon. Matteo Guendouzi, is it?
Matteo Guendouzi is a.
I won't take him because I can pronounce his surname.
I honestly, I already feel that there's the potential that we've already got the your replacement in the case of, yes, it's on the left side, but I do think that Kieran Dewsbury-Hall shows that natural aggression, that natural front and back about his game, you know, his recovery work and his forward work. So, you know, Brendan says about two players he wants to bring in midfield. I'm sure that one of them will probably be for, you know, allow development from below to get up to standard and integrate in better. So we've got a full-time one and one backup, because we've also got to remember that he's obviously not going to come out and stay unless it's something he can't, you know, categorically deny. He's not going to come out and say, oh, I want two midfielders in because so-and-so and so-and-so are out the bloody door. He's not going to do that because you want to sell certain players and move certain players on, but you want to do it to give the least impression as possible that these players are desperately want to move on, because that gives the impetus to clubs that maybe want them that will go, well, we know you want rid of them. So you say 12 million or 20 million, we say 15 or 8. So it's good to hear that he's already got an eye in the market of where he's going to strengthen.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
So just to go back, Ant says here, enjoy the wins, but saying we'll beat Chelsea because we beat two relegated teams. I don't think I said we beat Chelsea. Yes, I thought it was a draw we went for. I don't think either of us said we were going to beat Chelsea, and I don't...
And confidence breeds results. So you can say it was a Championship side or not. You could have said, oh, we've just beat Arsenal and Spurs, and we feel like we're going to get something against Chelsea. Chelsea are in a bad form. Chelsea have just lost yet another FA Cup final. They're going to be annoyed. They've still don't know who's going to be there or whatever next season, or in terms of the players, they've got a load of flops that are trying to convince whoever's going to be in charge next season, because it might not be too sure. They might have enough of him, because I think he's a fraud of manager. He's absolutely useless. But anyway, Chelsea might lose that game. Nobody thought Everton would beat them.
No, Everton's that's very, relegation very zone. True.
Couldn't beat anybody. Beat Chelsea 1-0. So and so, Wolves were 2-0 down and dead and buried. Well, that's that game over. Wolves came back and drew to Wolves. So don't. We're not suddenly sat here and going, oh, we're the best thing since I've said, we'll just beat these, we're going to beat Chelsea. It's, well, we've got two results. We've got two good positive results. Why can't we go to Chelsea and beat them?
Let's have a bit of... I think, how often have we got two back-to-back wins all season? I don't think it's been that often, you know.
Exactly.
All I'll say, Ant, is I'll just say this to you. Yeah, keep Brendan's name out your fucking mouth. I'm joking, of course.
I love you, Ant, but Jesus Christ, if you got inflated with some positivity, you'd spontaneously combust, I reckon.
And you know we banter. Anyway, Brad, stay on because I just want to have a quick one with you afterwards. But thank you so much. And I'm just going to double check what I'm sure you predicted. What did you predict? Everton Brentford, was it a draw?
No, I predicted Brentford to win, mate, which is what they're doing.
No, I think it was a draw that you had down. I'm sure
the video evidence will prove otherwise.
I'm sorry. A few of my videos. I've been talking to my mate, you know, Putin, and apparently he showed me a good way of getting rid of a few of the videos.
Brad, I'm sure he did, mate. I'm sure he did.
Brad, I will see you on Sunday for our last post-match of the season.
I look forward to it, mate.
Yeah. Ant says, what a quick... Are you jealous, Ant? Do you want to come in and have a threesome? A quick what after?
Well, we can't tell you that. You're too young for this. You're too small for it. You have to be this tall to ride this ride, Ant. That makes it sound worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you're he's too small to ride. I just got that. Where are you going today, Ant? Because it's not Alton Towers, is it? Sorry, Ant. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
It's not.
Come back at me age, you always do. Oh dear. And as all this excitement, and we should have won the Eurovision. I mean, you can't take it away from, I don't know if you're a Eurovision fan or not, Brad, but you can't take it away from Ukraine for winning it. But take out the sympathy vote this season, and it would have been us anyway. Wow. Mate,
Eurovision's got the same opinion. I've got the same opinion on that as you have, and if you have cricket, mate.
I sat there watching it last night, and I thought about you. North Macedonia were in it. And I sat there thinking, any minute now he's going to tweet me going, vote for North Macedonia, and you didn't.
No, I couldn't give a rat's backside about the Eurovision, I'm afraid.
Well, no, you said they're going to win. That could have been the thing that you were predicting.
Well, no, I told you, Chris, technically, when they knocked Italy out of the Euro, out of the qualifiers, they became the world champions. So technically, my prediction was always right. I just never stated how they'd do it.
That's it. Mate, thank you so much, always, and for your tactical section. I absolutely love it. And just to say, please follow Brad. Twitter is at Full Time Focus, and YouTube, it's a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of opinion whether you should subscribe or not. That is a yes. But this channel is called A Matter of Opinion, and it's all about, basically matters of opinion. And they're talking about ballet this week, aren't you? But.
Well, yeah, it, as a matter of your opinion, we're talking about ballet, but actually we're talking about wrestling. Yeah, it's just a channel that I started up. I wanted to do for a while. I've got loads of topics in mind. I did Marvel vs. DC for the opening episode. I've done a couple of football videos for the second one. I'm doing a wrestling one now, talking about WWE/WWF and which one's a better era. Ballet for Chris, see if we listen to it. Don't worry. Sorry, Chris, disappointed. There won't be Eurovision one, unless I'm going to say what's more entertaining, Patreon or Eurovision. But yeah, just check it out. Please do check it out. Give us feedback. And if you like it, do give it a subscribe. And before you do, though, make sure you subscribe to this channel first for its WWE=ballet section.
If I did one, mate, I'd have you on it. Brad, thanks very much, mate. All the best. I'll speak to you in a minute, and take care.
Take care, mate. Cheers,
buddy. Bye bye. Oh, he knows we jest, as indeed does Ant. And I hope Ant has a very, very good weekend as well. MOW, good evening, Emma. How are you? Hope you are well. Popping in, we're just rounding things up, to be honest with you. Where is Craig? Oh, now Craig doesn't do the post-match shows. Craig does the preview shows, so he will be on Wednesday at 7 for the possibly he'll be on. He should be on, I think. Yes, he is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday for the Chelsea preview, Emma. So you can catch him there. Well, what can I say? Two wins out of two. Not the best of seasons all round, but maybe let's, finish strong. And like I say, a top 10 finish and a European semi-final, it isn't all bad. And if you're into WWE, wobble your head and just remember Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks, Mick McManus, that was real wrestling. Rugby? I have no idea. I will see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for the... Premier League review. We were rounding up all the games, and 9 o'clock for the European review. We'll be looking at the top European leagues. Thanks very much for joining us. If you've been watching, really do appreciate your support. And if you have been watching and you're on YouTube, and if you haven't done already, please do what it says there, which is subscribe. then smash the likes and hit that notification bell. Don't forget, the week after the last game, 23rd of May, that week, we've got Rob Tanner from The Athletic magazine, and we've also got Jerry Taggart, Leicester City footballer and commentator, coming on and giving us their takes on Leicester's season. They are going to be two very, very interesting shows. Take care, guys. Enjoy Match of the Day tonight. I was just trying to see if they've announced yet what order it's in, but they haven't. I'm guessing Everton might be top with the way that's going, but surely we're not going to be last tonight. Stay safe, guys. Don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy. Good night.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.